Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. This is Dave Dornis from Leaving the Ring Radio, your host of Leaving the Ring Radio, the founder of Leaving the Ring Radio. So I'm on Locker Room. I'm on the Locker Room app, which I'm really enjoying. I'm really liking this app, man. It has given me a chance to get on here and just kind of throw up post thoughts about fights or upcoming fights that I don't get to add on to the live feed, to the live show that we have going on Pandora and YouTube and Blog Talk, Spotify, you know, everywhere we can actually put ourselves on. I am waiting for the co-host of Hispanics Causing Panic, G Funky, to join me here on the show. Let me see. Let me send it to him right now. Again, just really quick. All right. So anyways. Okay. So really quick, man. I'm still getting used to this app here. I'm still trying to, you know, work it and hold on to my hand because I'm so used to being free-handed or touching the keyboard on my laptop or doing a live feed show on YouTube. So this is still kind of new to me. I see that some folks are jumping on. Anyways, I want to talk about last night's fiasco type of fight that happened. I think the whole card was kind of weird on DAZN for the Jacobs and Rosado main event. And let me see. I think I got the Hispanic Causing Panic host, G-Funky. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you, man.
Cool, cool. So what are we talking about, bro?
Well, I was talking a little earlier. First off, man, hey, thanks for coming on the Locker Room app here to talk to me, boxing. I want to talk about last night, you know, card on DAZN, you know, that actually I even went on there late because I wasn't too, you know, honestly, I thought Danny Jacobs at 168, now he's campaigning, he left 160. He's definitely still chasing, you know, Canelo and Gennady Golovkin for a rematch. That's his hopes. The last outing that we saw him was up against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., one of our favorite fighters to talk about, right? And but no, listen, I thought for sure what I was going to witness with him getting in with Gabriel Rosado. We all know Gabriel's a warrior. A guy goes in there, he puts his heart on his sleeve. But really, honestly, he always comes up short. His face just doesn't hold up when you start jabbing him or landing big shots. So I figured, I'll go on later. I was spending time with the family, spending time with the wife. I thought, I'll go on later, and then I'll just watch the end result of this fight because I wasn't really expecting it to be, you know, anything other than a one-sided deal for Danny Jacobs putting on Gabriel Rosado, right? So here I am sitting down on the couch, relaxing. Fireplace is going. I just ate another plate of turkey and, you know, mashed potatoes and all that, right? From the leftovers from Thanksgiving. By the way, man, how was your Thanksgiving?
Cool, man. Just, you know, nice and quiet. You know, different from any other year, but it was cool.
Right. Right. And I call it, you know, I hate calling it Thanksgiving. I call it Turkey Day. You know, and I think myself and you, you know, us being Latinos, Hispanics, we don't really celebrate that. Oh, I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving. But, you know, we do hold the whole turkey thing. But I like I said, I like calling it turkey thing. I don't know. It's a whole nother different subject, man. So I'm sitting there, right? And I'm enjoying my food and I finish it up. And I saw my phone blowing up a few times, right? From different fight fans that have my personal line. But one of my really good friends, Brian Fogg, dude, calls me up. And the only time Brian calls me during a fight is when the fight's really good or it's really bad. So I was like, okay, it's either got to be a really good fight that's going down, meaning that Danny Jacobs came in and, fights have finally caught up with him, which we kind of saw happening with Julio Cesar Chavez, right? He didn't look that great. And I was like, that was the only way that Gabriel Rosado was going to, you know, have a chance of beating Danny Jacobs. So I go, I better go jump on. So I run to the, to the boxing lab, my podcast room, jump on, put on DAZN, and then I call Brian. I'm like, let me know what's up. He's like, dude, this fight is fucking terrible. Garbage. Danny Jacobs looks his age. It looks like it's like an overhyped boxing sparring match. And I'm like, that's how Saturday night, though. The overhyped sparring match that's happening here, G. You know what I mean? So let me get your thoughts, man, about what you thought about Danny Jacobs, who obviously got the win, but now we found out he's no longer from Brooklyn. He's from Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was really something, man. I was watching the fight. I was actually calling it live on my YouTube channel. And there were some guys, you know, like I felt Daniel Jacobs won the fight. You know, I was scoring the rounds. I mean, was there a chance that I was probably just not paying attention anymore because some of these rounds were so bad? Yeah, probably. right. But I did feel like he controlled the fight. I felt like he was the ring general for sure. I felt like when he wanted to box, he was boxing. I felt like when he wanted to come forward, he would push Rosado back without even using a jab. Like that's how bad Rosado was too. Like he was just allowing Jacobs to walk straight to him, and he wasn't firing nothing at him while he's just walking in without a jab, nothing. But I felt like I said, I felt like he controlled the ring. I felt like his defense was a little bit better. And I felt like he landed the cleaner shots. He was countering Rosado good off that lazy jab Rosado was throwing. He was hitting him with check hooks to the head and to the body. And but it was just a bad, bad performance. And I said to myself, when it went 12, and I couldn't hear the commentary because I had my headphones on, but people were telling me that the zone commentators were saying that the fight was close. You know, like, I didn't think it was close, but they were saying that it was close. So I'm like, you know what? They were saying, hey, they might rob Jacobs. And I said, you know what? I would not feel sorry for him at all if the judges
right.
went the other way with it, because he brought it on himself by coming in there and acting like it was a sparring session, like you said. And he even said it himself after the fight. I mean, that's just terrible. I am not a believer in Jacobs anymore, man. I think that
Jacobs, let me ask you this, man. Jacobs, in a way, adopted Andy Ruiz's excuse by admitting to something that most fighters shouldn't admit during a live post interview. You know, when he said, I felt like it was sparring. You know, it was really hard to get into it with no audience, etc. But no excuses. I'm a professional. When he said that, I'm like, well, a professional wouldn't say that. And especially a professional wouldn't go out there and kind of give that kind of performance of what he did. You know, facing Gabriel Rosado, right? He should have went out there and as a professional, brought his A game instead of now making an excuse that it was such a horrible fight, man.
Yeah, I agree. To say, I don't want to make no excuses, but then you make excuses, like,
exactly.
You know, like, you should have went in there and got the job done, Jacobs. Like, there's no excuse here, man. Rosado, you were a minus 2,500, according to the MGM last night. You should have went in there and took care of this guy. This guy is known for bleeding. He's not a big puncher, although, like you said, he's got a lot of heart. Like, I figured Rosado would come out and try to push him, and he didn't do that himself. He was out there trying to box, trying to look pretty, trying not to get hit. You know, it was just a bad, bad night of boxing. Horrible fight for both guys. But I tell you this, man, I think Rosado earned himself a couple of more big paydays. And for Jacobs,
that's the bad part, though, G-Funk. I mean, here. Okay, so he went out there, and I heard Gabriel, his post-interview and about why he thought he should have won that fight was because he came out there, you know, fighting a different style than we're used to him seeing. And I'm like, that doesn't mean you should get the fight. You shouldn't get the win just because you decided to change your style in front of everybody, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like, immediately thinking, dude, this is all bad for Gabriel because this is a mirage for the kid now. Because now he's thinking, oh, I can compete. I should get a rematch with Gennady Golovkin, or I should get a shot at Canelo or Andrade or all these other guys, which leads into a good payday for him. But in reality, I mean, Danny Jacobs basically showed us how bad he was, and Gabriel Rosado showed us how shot he was all in one 12 rounds of fighting. You know what I mean? I mean, both of them kind of put themselves on the slab there to let us know that, you know what? I don't think these guys should continue with their careers. I think they're done.
Yep. It was It looked like to me like both guys were just stuck in first gear. Like the pace was slow from first round all the way to round 12.
Right.
There was no sense of urgency from either guy. I mean, if they thought the fight was close, you know, you normally we see this. You know, the fight's close, you gotta get out, you gotta come out here, you gotta start winning these rounds. Like, let's go, let's get this thing going. Like, you just did not see that from them, either guy. Wow. And it just made for ugly, ugly boxing last night. And Jacobs gets beat by all these guys at 168. I don't think he can beat Plant. I don't think he can beat Benavidez. I don't think he can beat Billy Joe Saunders.
No.
I think if Jermall Charlo moves up from 160, which he's talked about doing, I think he beats him. I think if he fought Jermall Charlo last night, Jermall Charlo knocks him out. That's what I think, man. Daniel
Jacobs,
no,
I agree with you.
He's through.
I definitely agree with you on that there, man. Yeah, I think we've seen his better days. You know, I heard the commentators talking about the commentators and how terrible they were last night. I mean, honestly, they were pulling teeth trying to get any type of content going because that's how bad this fight was. It was just really boring. Like you said, the gears were not even being pushed in this fight. You know, I go back and I'm wondering what they're going to do with Danny Jacobs. Like, where do you put him at this moment? Because, you know, I was talking, like I said, to my good friend Brian Fogg, who used to write for Leaving the Ring and covered the sport in Arizona and whatnot, you know, when he was active as a boxing journalist. And he was just like, if I was Canelo, this is the perfect fight for me as a rematch because you can knock this guy out now. You know, where Danny Jacobs has shown, man, he's got a good beard. I mean, he did get Pirog did knock him out, but he was going through so much. He had just lost his grandmother, you know, and everything else. But here's another thing. Here's another point, though, about what the commentators were saying about Danny Jacobs, saying the switch of a trainer can sometimes mess you up. I don't know if that's there's any truth to that in watching that fight, because anytime I've seen a fighter switch, like when Oscar De La Hoya used to switch trainers, you could see him struggling within himself, not trying to, you know, bring back the old golden boy, right? Do the old mistakes. Danny Jacobs didn't show any of that. So how are you able to analyze or even get that suggestion that he's confused because he's got a new trainer if he actually didn't do anything of what the old Danny Jacobs would have done in this fight?
Yeah, I agree. I just think that he's just, I don't know, man. I'm just going to lean towards more. He's just not the same guy anymore. Has nothing to do with his trainers or anything like that. He just doesn't have it anymore. I mean, it's a pattern for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
The Chavez Jr. fight, look, he got bailed out because Chavez quit, which is nothing new. I mean, he quit in his last fight, you know, so that's what he always does. So, I mean, did he kind of pick up the pace a little bit on Chavez Jr. towards the end of that fight? I mean, I think so.
He was kind of forced, though.
Yeah.
Lizardo didn't even force the fight. Like, Lizardo decided, hey, I'm gonna go after looking like, BJ Saunders or Andrade, right? I want to try that here, you know? And being with, like, Freddie Roach. I mean, Freddie Roach is probably like, this is great. Here's another thing. Rosado goes in the post interview, goes like, everybody was saying that I bleed and I get cut. Well, dog, you didn't even get hit. Danny Jacobs didn't even attempt to like land something solid on you the whole night, you know? And so of course you didn't bleed. That you can't give credit to something that nobody didn't even decide. I mean, Danny didn't even decide to try to throw a hard right, straight right or left hook. I mean, it was all on Danny that made Gabriel Rosado look a lot better than what he is. That was my problem. That's why I'm like, do I want to? Let me ask you this, or anybody wants to come on or, you know, and join on in on this. I know it's really early. Everybody's probably getting ready and getting their stuff set up for the heavyweight fight that's going to happen on ESPN Plus. But let me ask this, okay? Gee, I forgot what I was going to ask, G.
I think maybe you were going to ask me if a rematch would be something that I'm interested in.
Oh, yeah, even a real – yeah, let me ask you that. Do you think any rematches that Danny Jacobs is now campaign, do you have any interest of seeing this guy get back in there with Canelo or even with Triple G?
I would say Triple G maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Canelo, that fight doesn't go past six rounds with Canelo. I think Canelo knocks him out.
Well, what would be the point for Canelo? Let me ask you that. Like, what reward does Canelo win by facing Danny Jacobs?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? Yeah. I could see more for Gennady Golovkin. I think that fight would make more sense because people are starting to believe that Gennady Golovkin is starting to roll downhill. But Canelo, who's looking to solidify himself as one of the greatest Mexican champions, to put him in the mind of, like, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. and Salvador Sanchez and Marco Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales, Danny Little Lopez, you know what I mean? I think that's the route he's looking for. I just don't see Danny Jacobs adding him, especially how one-sided that fight was. I mean, we got to be honest. That was a pretty clear win for Canelo when they faced each other the first time.
Yes, I agree. That was a pretty clear-cut win for Canelo. Although it was a good fight, I enjoyed watching that fight. But
no, I did too. I mean, there were people complaining because they were like, because Canelo is just not your typical Mexican warrior. You know, he's not going to go head and head with you. He likes to box. He likes to counter you. Whereas we're Gennady Golovkin and Danny Jacobs, and we talked about this on the Leaving a Ring roundtable. I think you agreed with me that fight was a lot closer and more competitive when Triple G and Danny Jacobs stepped in with each other, right?
Yes, absolutely. I actually felt like Jacobs won that fight.
Right.
But a close fight. You know, you can make a strong case for either guy. But on the night of the fight, I scored it for Jacobs. But yeah, that's a much better fight at this point than a Canelo fight. Canelo gains nothing from that but a payday. At least if Jacobs gets another crack at Golovkin, maybe he could beat him. Who knows? And then maybe they could do it again a third time. They have a trilogy.
You know,
that's about it.
I was cracking up with Sergio Mora and some of the stuff that he was saying. Because like I said, I think he was just like sticking his hand really down the hat to pull something out to, you know, keep it going. And this is one trend that I've kind of noticed about having a ex-fighter commentating. And I think you agree with me on this one here, bro, is they like to put themselves in place of the situation that's going on hand in front of them. You know, like they'll go like, well, you know, if it was me, I would have done this. Or, you know, back when I fought this guy or when I used to train. And I always felt like that's kind of a bad way of kind of explaining things to the listeners and the audience that they're watching the fight. Because every situation is how I feel is always different. It's not the same, you know. And when Sergio Mora was asked that Gabriel Rosado can pull this off, and he goes out for the KO. Or, I mean, he was talking about Danny Jacobs. You know, if Danny Jacobs goes out there, because he was being asked by his corner to finish strong, trying to make something happen, because it was a little close, right? But then Sergio Mora jumped in and goes, no, it's done. He's fought like this for 11 rounds. You can't expect him to just change what he's been doing for 11 rounds. It is what it is. And I was just like, that's not true, bro. He goes, that doesn't happen. That's what he said. It doesn't happen in boxing. And I'm like thinking, like, Sergio, what sport are you watching?
Yeah.
You know, because there are times where a guy can pull it off, you know, at the end of the round. We've seen this numerous times where a guy's been losing. He lost every single round, but then one punch changed the whole fight, you know?
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about boxing is because you could be down, like, let's say, you know, football, basketball, whatever. You could be down by a ton, and you just run out of time because you just can't catch up. You know, there's too much. The deficit is too wide. It's never that case in boxing. Like you said, you could lose every single round, and then all of a sudden you land one shot, and then boom, the fight can change. You could knock a guy out, you know, with one punch. So that's the beautiful thing about boxing, man. And for Sergio Mora to say that, that's just ridiculous, man. I have my issues with him, man. I never liked him as a commentary. Didn't really like him much as a fighter either. So,
you know, I didn't really care for him as a fighter. He carried no punching power. But because he kept bringing up that, you know, I think the reason he was bringing this up, okay? And I'm just, this is my assumption, because it, for me to really know what he was thinking would require for me to be in his head. And I don't think I want to be in Sergio Moro's head, okay? But I'm thinking he thinks Rosado doesn't have a big punch. There's no way he's going to take out Danny Jacobs, okay? And then he's thinking, well, Danny Jacobs, for these 11 rounds, hasn't showed anything of worth that he wants to land something big. Now, if you would have said that, I would have said, I agree with that. But to say that Danny Jacobs couldn't dig deep and then decide to go out there and go, you know what, it's the last round. I'm just going to let my hands go. I'm going to bring out the old Danny because I don't have to worry about the following round that I'm going to be tired, you know, and I'm going to do this, right? That it could happen, but it did play out the way Sergio Mora has said that it was going to happen, you know. But going back, what I think is that Mora believes that because Rosado's going to have a punch, it's not going to force Jacobs to fight any harder. When at the same time, I'm like, well, Sergio, you never had a punch, and you were able to drop Danny Jacobs too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which led into him going into the Gennady Golovkin fight where everybody, not myself, but a lot of other fight fans and fight pugs were saying, you know, Gennady Golovkin is going to roll through Danny Jacobs in one or two rounds. And guess what? He ended up going 12 rounds.
Yep.
You know,
good point.
So like that whole narrative of what he was trying to, like, you know, produce on last night's fight was like, you know, Sergio, I mean, you should know this better than anybody else. You've been in the fight game for how many years? That there's never a very solid script in boxing. It doesn't work in boxing.
Yeah, I agree, man. That's a good point that he did put Jacobs down, and Moreau was not known to be a big puncher, but somebody should have told Daniel Jacobs. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could have sent him a letter in the mail or something, you know, an email. But Rosado is not a big puncher either, but he's in there acting like this guy had so much power. Like, he was just afraid to go in there and get hit from this guy. Like,
yeah,
I honestly feel like if he just picked up the pace just a little bit, stops him, you know?
I do believe, though, G, that guys, there are fighters that when they hit that 30-year age range, is they tend to overthink their punches of what they want to do. So they hesitate. That's one thing. And the other one, too, is I do believe that fighters and their management tend to go, hey, you can't go all out there because we got big money fights. We need you to preserve yourself. Could that be the case with Danny Jacobs? I don't think it is. I don't think that is the case. I think the first case is, yes, he overthinks his punches now. He stepped into that era of his life right now. As an older fighter, he's overthinking things. But the other one about being preserved, I don't think that's the case because we didn't even see him attempt to show that he had any more fire left in the Brooklyn Light fighter, you know?
Yep. There was literally no fire in him last night. And again, what in there with a guy who doesn't punch hard, can cut very easily. You know, there was, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was a golden brick road for him, or yellow brick road, I should say, for right. him last night. And he couldn't close the deal, man. Just like a couple weeks ago with Devin Haney and Gamboa. Same thing, a guy who's old at the end of his rope, you know, he's coming off of a bad Achilles injury. The guy's been knocked out multiple times. He's been down 17 times in his career, and he couldn't put him down not one time. I got to keep the same energy here with Daniel Jacobs, man. This is a guy he should have got out of there last night. There was no excuses for that at all. And that fire is gone.
You know, the rumor about Gabriel Rosado is that if you sneeze on him, he starts bleeding.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen last night, you know. What even made it even more weird to the whole night with the DAZN card between Danny Jacobs and Gabriel Rosado is that I think the judges got it right, 15-13 all straight across the board. So I don't know how they were able to stay up and watch that. Because, like I said, I end up going on at, I think it was the sixth or seventh round is when I tuned in. And then I didn't even bother to go back and look at the first six rounds. I just finished off that round. But I did go bother to watch the undercard fights and stuff where you had White Chocolate and the other heavyweight and stuff. But what I think is, though, was hilarious is that when the ring announcer goes up to read the scorecard, right, is that when he makes the announcement, he goes, and out of Philly. So Gabriel Zama's just like, yeah, and he goes and hugs Freddie Roach, man, and they're like all complete celebration. But then, the ring announcer goes into Brooklyn, Danny Jacobs. It's like, oh shit, because I was like, wait a minute, did he say? I'm confused here. Like, who won?
I was the same way, man. I was thinking to myself, is there a new section in Brooklyn called Philadelphia or something, or what?
Yeah,
like, I mean, this, man, that was crazy. But I started laughing so hard because I thought they robbed Jacobs, and you know what? I was saying to myself, look, it's his fault. He decided right. to fight this way, And yep. he gave the judges, we know boxing, you can't give the judges an opportunity to rob you. And that's what he did last night. Now, they gave it to him in a close fight. Every judge had it 7-5, which is a close fight, you know. And that was definitely something to see the guy say, from Philadelphia and then from Brooklyn.
But, dude, he didn't even pause, though. Do you notice that? Like, it just rolled off his tongue, like, just really at ease. Like, he was like, from Philadelphia, Brooklyn. and then he proceeds to go, Danny Jacobs, the winner. I'm like, wait a minute. That's why. And then he even saw Danny Jacobs, like, stop for a minute. And he walked up to him like, hey, man, did I win this fight?
Yeah. You couldn't tell who won the fight. Even by the body language, I couldn't tell. Right. Like, I had my headphones on and I had the volume really low. So, like, I couldn't hear everything, but I'm just looking at the body language. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. You know, like, and
somebody was throwing back the old grandpa's medicine before they got up in that ring, that ring apron to announce the winner of that fight. You know, it was cold blooded. You know, I was with you. I was like, Danny Jacob lost this fight. He deserved it because he didn't do anything. He didn't try to produce anything to show us that he's still an elite fighter at 160, 168. That's my immediate thought. But then when I, you know, but my other thought was, dude, but now we're making Gabriel Rosado believe that he shouldn't hang up the gloves, that he's still up in the tiers of being one of the best fighters right now to compete, be competitive against the other guys that are reigning at 168. That was my only thing. I was thinking like, oh man, I feel bad for Gabriel because he's going to find out that his face really is not going to hold up when somebody lands a punch because Danny Jacobs didn't decide to throw anything with any effort.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what I was saying before the fight started, because they were showing the guys warming up in the back. And one thing that I like when it comes to boxing is I like when I see guys work up a nice sweat before they walk out to that ring. Jacobs was back right there hitting the pads, and he had sweat rolling down his face, rolling down his chest and his back. And I was thinking to myself, he's coming out here to try to put something on this guy early to get him out of there. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
He was nice and warm and ready to go. And then we got what we got. I mean, that was just pathetic, man. And let me tell you something. Life is precious. Your time is precious. Don't waste your time going back and watching those first six rounds, man. There's a lot more you could do with your time than that. I wasted about 40-something minutes of my life that I'll never get back watching that fight last night.
If there's anything, you know what's crazy? Because the whole pandemic, 2020, hasn't been the greatest. Not for, you know, I mean, it's just the world's been at pause. Sports have been at pause. But if there's going to be, we always do, you know, the end of the year awards for boxing, best KO, best the fight of the year, best round of the year. I think that we can quickly say that Danny Jacobs, Gabriel Rosado deserves the award of worst fight of 2020.
I agree. And you know what I say? This was dumpster juice of the year, man, for sure.
I was going to say that. Dude, this is the definition of dumpster juice. Not just the whole fight, but even the way they announced the winner. That was dumpster juice all the way, bro. All the way. You know? Definitely. Here's the sad thing about it is that tonight, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., which somebody put on my Twitter feed, like, dude, Roy Jones looks juiced up. Bro, he looks bloated. What are you talking about? He looks like a 50-something-year-old bloated guy that's trying to get back his, you know, prime days. It just doesn't look good. Now, Mike Tyson, he looked all right, you know. But going back, this is the sad part, is that this fight's probably going to be far more entertaining than these two 30-year-old guys that are still active in the sport, where these guys haven't been active. Well, Mike Tyson hasn't been active. But you know what I mean? That's pretty freaking sad. You know what I mean? Where Danny, that's, you know, shame on you, bro. Shame on you, dude.
I was saying to my guest last night when I was live calling the fight, I said, this was like the perfect alley-oop pass for a slam dunk for tonight. I mean, this was just terrible. I mean, any real boxing fan that watched that last night is probably looking forward to tonight's fights. And that's really sad. Because I don't think we're going to get a good fight tonight with Jones and Tyson. I mean, we've got two 50-year-old guys in there. Right. One guy who hasn't fought in a couple of years, but he's been pretty active. You know, he's been keeping himself in shape. And Roy Jones. And then a guy like Mike Tyson, who hasn't fought since 2005, I believe. And,
right.
And that fight, he just quit. He got knocked down and just decided not to get up anymore. That was
well,
it.
He did fight again, but it was an exhibition. Remember I was talking about that? How he carried his opponent when he dropped him? But I mean, because I'm still getting a lot of leaving the ring emails and even texts on my phones. Like, hey, dude, you're going to pay for the fight? You're going to watch it? I guess some folks think that I'm going to cave in because I've been so adamant of saying, I'm not buying this. I'm not paying for it, you know? And it's really because I'm looking at the undercard, okay? You got Badu Jack, who's fighting a kid out of Sacramento who, dude, I mean, I think he has like, what, 2 or 3 knockouts on his record. And then you look up his record, and nobody of recognition is on that roster of fighters he's fought. Then you got the YouTuber kid, Paul Jake or Jake Paul, whatever his name, and he's fighting this, what, basketball player? That there I have no interest in. And then everybody else on there I have no interest in watching as well. I'm like, these are really not fights that are going to move the needle for me. For me. Now, if you're looking to just be entertained because it's Saturday, and like I said, we're still in this pandemic here in California. There's not a lot of places you can go. I'm thinking the whole country right now, right? Still, there's not a lot of things you can do on a Saturday. I don't blame you to want to see and hope to see the glory days of Mike Tyson. I don't blame you for doing that. But me, I'm just one of those very, I guess you could say I'm a negative fight fan. And because I don't want to be, or a hater, like Blood said on the round table, Dan, you're just being a hater, you know? Maybe I am just being a hater. Why? Because I know for a fact, we're not going to get, you know, that old spark feeling is not going to come back. It's just not going to be there with Mike Tyson or Roy Jones, you know? And I just, you know what? I'm going to wait for it to be, it's going to end up on YouTube immediately after the fight. After the fight's done, it goes up like what, 10, 15 minutes. You're going to see it. So, well, all you suckers paid $60 for it, or however much it is, I'm going to get it for free.
So you telling me, I mean, you said you're not looking forward to the YouTube guy, the basketball player, the 250-year-old guy. So, you mean you're not looking forward to Lil Wayne? I heard Lil Wayne's supposed to be
Lil
there.
Oh, Lil Wayne's going to perform? The Gremlin? Lil Wayne the Gremlin is going to perform? No, yeah. I don't. You know, the thing about me, man, is that it's talking about being stuck in the past. I'm still stuck in the past with the music of like Tupac and Biggie, Black Moon, Rakim, all those guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still stuck in the past with that. Like, I have like different genre of music and stuff. I'll go over to the Rolling Stones, to the Doors, you know, stuff like that, you know. But this new music, I've tried. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I haven't tried, you know. I'm a father of 3 boys and a girl, and they're all, you know, they're all in that time, that age where I was, where music was life. Music is still life to me, but you know, they try to introduce me to the new stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, kids, I just can't do it. Sorry. You know, they're like, you're old, Dad. You're old. I might be old, but I still got good taste.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. You know, I know who Lil Wayne is. I'm not a fan of his music. I'm just, you know, I'm not the biggest hip hop fan. I'm just like you. I like the old school hip hop better.
I'm a lyricist.
Much better. Yeah.
If I got to break it down to what I am, I'm a lyricist. Like, for instance, the music of today, I can't get into, but I still watch. Like, I still can watch the when they're competing, the freestyles, when the kids are going up there on the dock. I think that's what it's called. You know, when they go up and they rap battle, I can watch that because they come in with a lot of lyrics. You know, they're real creative, you know, and that I can enjoy because it's a battle. But when I'm listening to these other kids that are trying to rap like 69, when none of it, honestly, there's no real poetry behind what they're saying. They're just saying words and then putting it together. I just can't get into that. It's just not for me. I can't relate to it. I guess that's what it comes down to. And that's why I can't relate to the Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Let me ask you, though, who do you got winning this fight, man? I know you said on the roundtable, but for folks that are going to listen to us on the locker room, who do you have winning this fight?
Well, I'll tell you this, man. After I saw the weigh-in yesterday, I know I said before on the roundtable that I was taking Tyson because I just don't trust Roy's chin, but I don't know, man. I think I'm going to change my pick. I think I'm going to roll with Roy Jones Jr. I was a Jones Jr. fan back in the day. And I don't know, Tyson to me just didn't look that good. He didn't look as cut up as he did or as solid as he did when I seen him. He's on wrestling not that long ago. And he got into it with Chris Jericho on the wrestling show, and you know, he ripped off his t-shirt and he looked really, really good. I seen him yesterday, man. He looks kind of like a grandpa now that might have been in shape about 20 years ago, you know. So I'm gonna go with Roy, man. I just think I think he's kept his body pretty healthy, and you know, I just think that he'll be able to fight a full 8 rounds at 2 minutes apiece. I don't know if I can say the same for Tyson. I think if he's gonna win, he's gonna have to try to catch him early, man. But I don't know, man. I think he's going to be getting tired down the stretch, man, for sure. So I'm going to roll with Roy now. I'm switching my pick last minute.
I think D-Style got in your ear a little bit too much, your co-host from Hispanics Causing Panic there, because I know D-Style's been riding with Roy Jones since the announcement of the fight. You know what? I think you made some great valid points, because if anybody's got fresher legs, it's going to be Roy Jones Jr. Here's another thing, though. Bada, who does one of the strength tests in the game, have been involved in this. So that could probably add a plus of why you're not seeing Mike Tyson this cut up. You
absolutely
know? As we were seeing him earlier, before the fight was being signed, before that fight was even signed and even talked about, when Iron Mike was talking about a comeback, remember those videos that he was posting? I mean, dude, he was shredded. He was cut to the max. Mm-hmm. Seeing him on that weigh-in, it was like, what happened to the Instagram, Mike? Because he didn't show up.
Yep.
He didn't show up to his way in here, you know. I'm kind of now that you're mentioning all this right here, I'm like rethinking it. But I got to stick to Iron Mike, land something pretty good, solid, and probably makes Roy Jones hesitate. Well, you know what? There really can't be a clear winner in this one. It's just going to be fans basically debating who won the fight. Because if I remember correct, there are no judges for this fight, right?
No official judges, yes. Yeah. But there are three celebrity judges, which, I mean...
Oh, that's right.
They switched the rules on this thing. So here's the thing that makes me hesitant about even ordering this fight. They came out, and I did some research, and there was an announcement where they were talking about all these rules. This was on a Tuesday. Tuesday this week, the week of the fight. And from what I heard then, there was supposed to be no winner. No knockout. You can't knock somebody out. Nobody's going to win because there's no official judges. So I'm like, okay, like, why even buy it then if there's going to be no winner? Then I hear 2 days later, oh, they changed the rule. Now you can't knock somebody out. Now there is going to be a winner. Like, so okay, so what's to say if these guys get more pay-per-view buys because they changed the rules midweek? What's to say that they can't change the rules after the fight card started already? Like, guys, we decided to go ahead and throw the headgear back on.
Now that you suckers bought it, we're going to change everything.
Who's to say they can't do that, you know?
Right. Yeah. I know. It's such a, you know, it honestly feels like it's going to probably be another DAZN night with Jacobs and Rosardo, where they may possibly do that. And who's commentating this anyways? Is it going to be celebrities as well? That's going to be, you know,
that's a good question. I don't know. The only other details that I know is again that Christy Martin, Vinny Pazienza, and Bad Chad Dawson, I don't even know how he got thrown in the mix, but he's going to be an unofficial judge.
Well, that's not bad. At least that's good. Actually, that's not bad. You know, Vinny, Martin, and Dawson is not bad. I when you said celebrity, like judges, I was thinking like that dude Donnie Balabuche like Jerry Springer, or maybe possibly Oprah Winfrey there as the judges. You know, they've never judged a fight in their lives, but they're there to be the official, unofficial judges for Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. You know.
Yeah, I asked D-Style this question when we did Hispanics Cause of Panic this week, being that Vinny Pazienza is one of the judges. Like, do you think that he would be biased against Roy since Roy beat him up pretty good and then put him in a rap song, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know he already knows who won, who's winning this fight, no matter what. Mike didn't even throw a punch, and Vinny's going to say, like, oh, no, he won that fight. He won the fight. Remember, let's not forget this. Vinny Pazienza is on the side of Deontay Wilder, of why Deontay Wilder shouldn't have lost against Tyson Fury. Let's not forget that. So that's not a cuckoo thought to think about Vinny Pazienza there, geez.
Absolutely.
So in a few minutes here, because I got to get going here, because I got to sit down and get ready for the ESPN Plus fight card, the heavyweight between Daniel Dubois and Joe Joyce, bro. Who do you got? Who do you picking on this fight happening?
I'm taking Dubois, man. I just think he's much sharper with his punches. I think it's a little bit harder than Joyce. Plus, Joyce is just too slow. He gets hit a lot. That's what I'm thinking, man. But, you know, heavyweight fights, you know, that's the thing. Anything can happen in those fights, man. But I'm going with Dubois for sure.
You know, Joe Joyce, I saw a few people, even guys that were hitting me up on Leaving the Ring. They're like, Dave, you're not giving him credit. Let's look at his whole resume. Olympian. He's fought in the World Series boxing, which was that, you know, the team boxing that they were trying to create. But I'm like, guys, I'm looking at, I see the resume, you know, Stavern, guys like that, he's beaten. But Stavern was really not Stavern anymore, you know. Wasn't the Stavern that went out and knocked out and beat the crap out of Chris Namer Oriella. But I keep going off of how slow he is. Like you just mentioned right now, dude, how slow this guy is, that even at one point I thought, and I'm not even joking, and people think I'm joking about this, when I was like, dude, is there something wrong with my internet? Like, I think there's something wrong with my internet. That's how slow this guy is. And Dubois just goes out there. Daniel Dubois just goes out there, and he's got the speed. He's got actually the glimpse of what people are hoping to see tonight for Mike Tyson. He actually has a glimpse of Iron Mike. The speed, the power, that ferociousness that Mike used to carry, Daniel has that. He carries that, you know? So that's why I expect him just to kind of be all over Joe Joyce. When I expect, I expect 10 punches landed on Joe Joyce when he's just throwing out a left hook, you know?
That's pretty funny. I thought there was something wrong with my internet. No, the guy is just really slow.
Yeah, man, I'm not even shitting you. I was like going like, dude, my internet is so fucking bad that they're making this guy look even slower. But then I saw everybody on the social media feed like, dude, this guy's really slow. And I'm like, holy smokes, he is slow. He is really that slow. And that's not even a joke. You know what I mean? Like, we're not even joking about how slow this guy is. I'm expecting a one-sided beatdown. I think I've said this on the round table. I don't think he goes past four rounds, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty decisive sound beating by Dubois on Joyce. But again, heavyweight fights, man, you just never know. I mean, we've seen crazy things happen. One thing that comes to mind is, I don't know if you remember this fight from back in the day, but when Tommy Morrison was set up to fight Mike Tyson, all he had to do was get past Michael Bent.
Yep.
He goes out there in the first round. Looks like he's getting ready to get him out of there in one round. And he gets clipped with something big, goes down, and then he gets up, goes down again, gets up, goes down again, and then the fight is over.
Over.
So,
but the thing with Michael Bent, though, is that Michael Bent actually had average speed, where, dude, Joe, the juggernaut, I don't even know what speed do you put him under? Super slow, very slow, or just unordinarily slow?
Yeah, he's definitely AOL dial-up slow. No doubt about that.
All jokes aside, like I said, you know, Antonio Margarito, even Jaime Murguia, they're sitting back and going, look, guys, now that's slow.
Mm-hmm.
We're slow, but that's really, really, really slow. But like you said, it's a heavyweight division. This fight, obviously, is going to lead the winner to the big possibilities of facing the likes of like AJ, Deontay Wilder, even Andy Ruiz, to Tyson Fury, who pulls this off. But like I said, though, I think it's just going to be Dubois. I think that he just has the goods. He looks like the guy that possibly could reign for a couple of years, but that all can change because the heavyweight division is obviously very stacked, very deep, and we haven't seen it this deep in years.
Yeah, very true. And that's good, man. It's always a good thing for boxing when the heavyweights got some stuff going on, because people like heavyweights, people like the knockout, and you know, that's where you most likely would get knockouts, is in the heavyweight division. So
right. That's
always a good thing, man, and that's good for us, man, because this is the sport we love. So let's keep this thing going. Let's keep this momentum rolling here, man.
I know. Two undefeated heavyweight fighters going out there, both explosive, with power, not with speed. Only one of them's got speed. They both, though, have some real, real heavyweight power there. So let's just run it down really quick. Who you think? You picked Tyson. No, I picked Tyson. You're picking Roy Jones. You changed your
pick
after seeing the weigh-in. I saw a bloated Blewett grandfathered bought on Roy Jones Jr. That's what I was like, holy smokes. And then Mike Tyson obviously didn't bring his Instagram body to the weigh-in. It's going to be interesting. Again, I'm not buying the fight. I'm going to stand my ground here. G, are you buying the fight, G? Are you going to buy it, or are you going to wait for it to come out
Oh, man, I'm still undecided right now, man. It's going to be a last-minute thing for me.
You're going to do it. FaceTime me if you do it so I can watch it there.
You know, I definitely will if I decide to get it. There's a good chance, though, because, you know, with the rap guys like Lil Wayne and, God, I can't remember the other guy's name, but there's another guy who's going to be rapping tonight. His name is Da Baby. And
The baby. That guy likes to fight with everybody, I heard.
I had to check with my sister-in-law who listens to this hip-hop stuff, you know, and I had to confirm, like, is this guy's name really Da Baby? Like, I mean, what is going on?
Yeah, because we thought the president of the United States was Da Baby. Turns out there was a rapper that took that name already. That's why Trump can't hashtag Da Baby.
So right. There's a good chance she might want to actually come over and see it, and plus this is how bad it is for boxing nowadays.
I was gonna say that
she's a big casual fan. She would only watch boxing if it was on somewhere where she was at. She was hanging out at a friend's house or something, and she knew right away. Oh yeah, I know Mike Tyson. I remember him. I remember Roy Jones. And so there's an opportunity that I might get it just for that if she decides to come over. But we'll see, man.
I had somebody just recently go like, oh, I know Mike Tyson. I thought he was dead. No, he's still alive. And he's still fighting? Like, yeah, he's still fighting and stuff. But you know how bad it is that they have to put rap artists in between the bouts to intrigue casual fans to buy this? Even though they're saying that there's a possibility, bro, it's going to break some records. There's a lot of pre-buys. So, I mean, that's actually pretty good. Now, I said this on the last locker room a segment that I did earlier this week. I said, look, I think as we all know, we as boxing, hardcore boxing fans, we're going to tune into the real fights. But the people that really keep this sport thriving and staying alive on the lifeline that we have, because we've been hearing this for the past 30 years that boxing is dead. Boxing is going to die. UFC is going to kill it. Which I used to say for years, it's kind of weird that another sport is dependent on one sport to be killed off, right? But the truth is that casual fans have always brought boxing back with the big money. Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. Now, if this comes off with Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., you may say, if you're not a boxing fan, you're one of these UFC fans or NBA, NFL, and they're like, my God, you guys had to have two old guys, you know, keep your sport alive. Well, they didn't really keep our sport alive, but they actually were able to fool a lot of people to jump in on the bandwagon and hoping to see a glimpse of the old Roy Jones and Mike Tyson. That's why boxing is never going to go anywhere. There's always one little match that will make you go, hey, I want to check this out. I may not be one of them because I think there's just far too many other good matches that are going to happen, you know, that's going to finish off this year. One being that's going to happen in about another 10 minutes is going to start the card. The undercard should be starting on ESPN Plus. But again, hey, everybody, check out G-Funk on the Hispanics Causing Panic on a D-Style channel, YouTube channel, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. And then also check out G-Funk's YouTube channel. You can find that on YouTube. Go to G-Funky Boxing and check out his Wednesday night Hispanic Causing Panic Censor show, right?
Yes, the Uncensored Show is where we talk about some hot topics and we get a little crazy sometimes. So yeah, come check me out, man.
Yeah, and you can always find us on Monday night. No, we haven't been on a regular schedule Monday because my co-host Amilcar, he hurt his back, so he's been on some meds here and he's been a little loopy, so he hasn't had the opportunity. But we'll be back this Monday. We got a lot of stuff to talk about for this Monday show. We got Spence Garcia. We got, just a lot of topics. We're going to talk about the results of this past weekend fights as well. Again, G-Funk, man, thanks for coming on, man, chopping it up here with me on the Locker Room app.
Anytime, man. Anytime I'm free and you need someone to come on, man, you know, just get a hold of me, man. I love talking boxing, man. This is what we do, you know?
This is what we do, brother. Okay, man. As always, folks, don't drink and drive because you will spill your beer. Have a great night.